Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 14 for study number 153 today, please. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy, study 153- Was Exceeding. Our text verse is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And that verse reads this way, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." We're going to deal today with the two words, "was exceeding," in this verse. Now let's pray. Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, to declare the whole counsel of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you'd open our minds of understanding, and may our hearts be receptive as our ears hear. And I pray, God, that you'll help us to apply it to our heart and life. Bless some soul, Lord, is hearing this message, Lord, to give them a better direction, instruction, comfort, strength, and even salvation. God, we'll give you the glory for what you're going to do. We commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this 15-minute audio Bible study commentary will be study number 153 on this first chapter of 1 Timothy, and it will be on verse 14 again. We'll title this lesson today, "Was Exceeding." This will be the fourth study on this verse 14, which only contains one statement, but many instructions into the Christian life. This phrase is only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. We will break this phrase down and hope it will be an encouragement to you and be informative to your spiritual life. May God add to His Word in your heart from this lesson. It is a blessing from the Lord to be able to give some heavenly instruction from the Lord to your heart. May God richly bless His Word to your soul. We'll now begin with the word "was" in this 14th verse. The word "was," as you already know, is speaking of the past. Paul is letting us know that in the past, the grace of God was exceeding. In other words, it's beyond measure. In other verses, he lets us also know that the grace of God is exceeding, or as God tells him, that His grace is sufficient for him, and not only him, but for us all. Thank God for this divine fact. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Remember, Paul had an infirmity in the flesh, or a sickness of some sort, as he prayed that the Lord would remove it. Paul said he prayed thrice or three times, and the Lord gave him back this answer of His grace being sufficient for him. So we can conclude again, the grace of God is sufficient for our present needs. It is sufficient for our future needs, and it has been sufficient for our past needs as well. The grace of God has saved us in the past. The grace of God is keeping us saved in the present, and the grace of God will deliver us into glory as a saved, born-again child of God in the future. May I also add that the grace of God is still exceeding. It was exceeding in the past, is exceeding in the present, and it will be exceeding in the future and throughout the eternal ages to come. Now, we will deal with the word "exceeding" in this verse. The word "exceeding" means great. It means exceptional, tremendous, supreme, or outstanding. To sum up this word, we could say that it is over and above the average or normal of anything. This word is mentioned 59 times in the Bible, of which 34 times it is mentioned in the Old Testament, and 25 times it is found in the New Testament. If you look up these references, you will have a better understanding of what this word "exceeding" means. We'll look at a few references using this word "exceeding." We'll save a few references for your personal studies. The first mention of this word exceeding is found in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. And it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, Abraham here is reminded that God is his exceeding great reward. Remember, the Jewish nation started with Abraham. The Jewish nation, even to this day, highly exalts and holds Abraham, along with King David, to a very high degree. The second time this word exceeding is mentioned in the Bible is found in Genesis 17 in verse number 6. And it says, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." God gave Abraham a promise that he will make him exceeding fruitful, which has already come to pass, as you know. The whole Jewish nation has and is being blessed through Abraham. This is proven in Exodus chapter 1 in verse number 7 when God said, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them." No nation has ever been blessed as much as the nation of Israel. No nation has ever become so great as the nation of Israel. Let me also say that no nation has ever been despised and hated as the nation of Israel as well. Nations have tried to destroy and extinguish this nation, but have failed. They will continue to try to do this, but will utterly fail in the end. God will destroy them. This is in the keeping with the promise to Abraham in the book of Genesis. We find that God spoke to the Israelites through an exceeding loud trumpet in Exodus 19:16. "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." God knows how to get the attention of the people. Many will hear, but multitudes will not. I am reminded of the time that God spoke to my heart in a loud voice through the preaching of the Word of God by the man of God and the Spirit of God. God used the preacher as a trumpet to speak to my heart and tell me that I was lost and undone without Him. I am glad that I heard Him speak to me and walked down to the altar on that Sunday morning when He spoke to my heart and asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin. He did, and I have never gotten over it, and thank God I never will. Hallelujah. Then we find that God was David's exceeding joy in Psalm 43 in verse 4. The Bible said, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." This shall let us all know, amen, that joy only comes from the Lord, and God is our source of real joy. Now, we can find happiness in happenings, but only joy is found in the Lord. Then God gave Solomon, the son of King David, exceeding wisdom and understanding in 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon is known as the wisest man on the earth. Even the Queen of Sheba said that the half had not been told about Solomon and all his wisdom. Now let us look over in the New Testament's references to see the word exceeding. God reminds and promises us in what He will do for the church in the ages to come in Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God will put the church, which is the bride of Christ, on display throughout the ceaseless ages to show His exceeding grace and glory. What a wonderful time that's going to be. We have never seen the church as she's going to be seen in eternity. The church is and always will be the gorgeous bride of Christ. No greater beauty can be bestowed upon her after she's called out of this sin-cursed world and put on demonstration in glory. How exciting it is just to be a part of the church and the bride of the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory. And I'll add a hallelujah. We also have a promise of what God can do for us before we even put on display for the ages to come. God said in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." I like the words in this verse, "him that is able." Our God is not a weak God or a wimp. He's capable and able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a glorious promise God is making us weaklings here on this earth. We have heaven on our side and at our disposal. There should never be any discouraging time in our life. We're more than conquerors, and it is a blessing to know that we're on the winning side of victory with nothing to fear in this life or in the life to come. Hallelujah. Added to that promise, we have another one in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, where God said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." In this verse, we find that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. These promises are above the normal and are extraordinary. We have been made partakers of the divine nature. God has given us a godly part that no one could do for us. He has delivered us from the corruption that is in this world through lust. You can count on these promises of God. They will come true and will be kept. God will not and can't change his mind. These promises should keep us shouting and praising God on a constant 24/7 basis and keep our soul on fire for the Lord. I want to remind you of what God had said in Malachi 3:6. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God never changes his mind on what he's promised. God gives us another promise in Jude 1:24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy." Now this promise should encourage every soul and comfort every heart of the believer. This should set all those who believe in falling from grace on the right path. He's able to keep us from falling. The hand of God is strong enough and capable enough to keep us from falling. What a blessing to grasp this precious thought. We're saved for time and for eternity. We've been told that we have eternal life. That is life forever, not just for a portion of time, but everlasting life. The only end to this life we have is the end that we get on. What God has started in our heart, he is able to keep us throughout all eternity. He is, as this verse tells us, that he's able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, and that with exceeding joy. That is joy that is over and above normal. God calls it in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 8, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now, this exceeding joy is described as joy unspeakable and full of glory. In other words, this joy is beyond words of the human mind. There are no words to describe this joy that only the Lord can give us in these human corruptible bodies. He also tells us in this verse that he's able to present us faultless, that is, sinless. Many are trying to live a perfect sinless life in this sinful life and are failing miserably every passing day. Human flesh cannot perfect itself. It will take the Lord through a new perfect body to do that for us. Man can't make or cause sinful flesh to live perfect or sinless. I agree that many of us could be more perfect than we are, but we will not be perfect until we reach the other side and put on display throughout the ages to come. Our soul and our spirit have been saved, but our bodies have not been changed yet. That will happen when we are called out at the rapture of the church, and not until. May God bless you. I hope this study, number 153, entitled Was Exceeding, has helped to inform you and helped you in your spiritual life. May God bless you. Amen and amen.